Who goes to church on Wednesday nights? It's people who are trying just to keep it together. Yeah. It's really people who are just trying to keep it together in life, knowing they love God, but they don't know. We're just trying to keep it together. Because it's hard to keep it together in this world. It really is. And I feel tonight there's probably a half a dozen of us or so, and I'm going to put myself in that list that's carrying probably some heavy weight. Just some junk, just some stuff. Whether it's your own unloading of your stuff or your stuff and everybody else's unloading. Carrying a lot of weight. Because life is hard. It's hard, and I don't know how long. I don't know how lost people do it. It's hard being a Christian. Why doesn't God let us see the angels to get us inspiration? Why doesn't God let us see the demons when they move so we can resist it? Why does it God? Because it's about faith. It's about faith. If He wants us to see, He can let us see. And there's probably some of us here that have seen something that God has opened up our eyes to see something that is. In the flesh, you don't usually see that, but God has granted that to you to see as a warning or as something of encouragement, or God spoke to you in a way that's not the normal way that He speaks. But most of the time, it is that we don't see this other world that we're in, but we walk in it because it's about our faith. Yet we have this weight that we carry, the weight of life, the baggage that we carry, the hurts and our pains that we carry. And life is hard. Sometimes you share it with people and sometimes you don't. Either way, it's still heavy. Even after you share it, it's still there and it's hard. I'm going to be in 1 Peter tonight, chapter 5, and if you ever want to feel like that you get slammed in Scripture, Peter is pretty tough when he comes. When he writes 1 and 2 Peter, they're pretty hard. I mean, they're in-your-face letters. But as he gets ready to conclude this first one here, and we kind of cut it into five chapters, God cut it into five chapters and verses that we might get it, because there's so much in it. You know, sometimes when we carry that junk inside of us, and somebody says, "Hey, how you doing?" "I'm good." And basically we carry that stuff because we think we can handle it. Just going to be in four verses out of this book here tonight, and I might throw a couple in by memory. But he says, therefore, in verse 6, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, your version may say that He may lift you up in due time, because we get down in life, we get to these places, but we need to be, we need to humble ourselves. When you think that you can handle all that stuff, and you go, "I got it. I don't need nobody. I got this, Lord. I can do this." Basically, really, we've gotten prideful that we can handle it. But I want to tell you, I'm 52, and I ain't so good handling all my junk. I'm not very good at handling it on my own. I'm not very good at it. You notice we say insanity is doing the same thing, hoping for something to change, and we keep doing the same thing over and over. We all do it. We keep doing it. Because when we do it in our power, that's what happens. And he tells us that we need to humble ourselves under God, under His hand. We need to be in His hand, His moving hand, not holding these things on our own, not being able to say that I can handle all this stuff on my own. Your situation doesn't change because you want it to change. It changes because you do something in it, but even when you do something, it doesn't always change, because you can't open doors. You can't always close the doors that need to be closed. But God is saying, listen, we need to humble ourselves under His hand. We need to do that. And when we let God take control, because this is what it is, it's that we must put our control and let Him be in control. And when we are in control, we mess it up. But when we let Him in control and we share that with it, basically what He does is He will lift us up in due time. In His time is what it means. In His time, not always in our time, because we need to learn some lessons. We need to go through something. But then He moves on and He says in verse 7, cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Now we do share, we are to share one another's burdens. The Bible says we are to, we are to share one another's burdens. But here it says, cast all your burdens. Cast all of your care, all of it, to God. Because He cares for you. God has His best interest in for you. All those worries, all that stress, all that anger that built up, all those letdowns, all those questions, all that depression, all that discouragement, all that junk, God says, we are to cast it at His feet. We are to lay it down at God's feet. And the Bible simply says, because He cares for you. God loves you. And He cares about you. He can handle those worries. He can handle all that stuff that you got going on. There's nothing He can't handle. You're not the first person going through it, but the fact is, you're the one going through it right now. And it's very important to you because you're the one going through it. You're the one that feels it. And sometimes we wonder nobody else is understanding what we're going through. But we are told here to lay that down. And that's hard. Because if I lay it down, then I've got to say that I'm trusting God to do what He's going to do. Now, that doesn't get me off the hook saying I'm not the not supposed to make the right godly decisions, and I'm not supposed to continue to pray about it, and doesn't give me the right to go out and sin and just throw my hands up. No, it means that I'm giving Him what I can't handle. I'm giving to Him what's out of my control, because there's things that is out of your control. There are things that are out of my control, and I struggle with some things. But as I'm working through this thing called life, which is hard, and you're working through it, and you're trying to put some pieces of your life back together, it even gets a little bit harder than just trying to let it go to God. It even gets a little bit harder as He goes in verse 8. Now He says, now, you need to be sober. Now, sometimes we'd be sober, which means not to be drunken, but to be sober, which means that your mind is clear, that you are alert. He says, be sober. We're to be alert, we're to be open. Not letting something else inside move us around and get us off track. He says, not only be sober, but be vigilant. It means we need to be watchful for the danger that's maybe in the middle of the road that we're going down, because we've been down the road before and we see these little signs that says, oh yeah, I know where this goes if I go down that lane, or this shortcut is not really a shortcut. It's a danger spot. And He says we need to be vigilant in it. We need to be wide awake. Because why? Because the Scripture tells us that the devil walks around like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. And yes, the devil, Satan, Lucifer, whatever you want to call him, whatever name you're picking, he is real. He is real. He is real. He's not an idea. He's not a thought. He's not an imagination. He's not some imaginary character out of a comic book. He is the real deal. He rebelled against God. And a third of the angels got with him and rebelled against God. There's some things that happen that Scripture tells us that there are some fallen angels. We call them fallen angels because they were once with glory with God, and they're not that now. They've rebelled against God, and the Bible even says that there are some that have been chained for another day. They've been chained up. They did some very evil and dark. However God cast that judgment, the Bible does tell us that some of these demons are chained up right now. But there is a leader of this bunch. It is the devil. And he's not off on Pluto, and he's not shooting around the galaxy, and he's not doing those things. The Scripture tells us all over the Word that he tells us that he walks and roams like a lion, seeking who he may devour. He's looking for people. He is the adversary, which is an enemy. He's not your friend. You don't want to talk to him. He is not your friend. He is evil. He is your opponent in the battle. He is your opponent. This is why the Scripture says the battle is not yours, but it is God's, because we cannot defeat him in the flesh. We cannot defeat him. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It is Christ inside of you that gives you the victory. The battle is not yours because you can't win the battle, but with Christ you can. And as we work through that and we try to struggle through that, all the junk that we have, there's an enemy that's coming around and he's saying, I want you, I'm after you to take you out. He wants to chew you up with all of the things and whatever stuff you got going on, all the weight that you got. He wants to make it heavier, and he will wait until the opportune time. Job was a man who the Bible says that God blessed, and he was a righteous man before God. The Bible says when the angels were gathered together one day as they stood before God, that also that Satan himself came. The Bible says that when God saw that, he says, what are you doing here? And Satan says, God says, have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him on the earth. He is a righteous man. He shuns evil. And Satan wants to curse him. He's trying to attack him. And he asks permission to attack him. Why? He says, where have you been? And he says, I've been going back and forth. I've been roaming the earth. The Scriptures here says he roams back and forth. He's not looking for the lost. He's looking for people who are trying to get their life right with God. He attacks Job because he is living a righteous life, which means a Christ, a godly-like life. And if you're not much into the Old Testament, I hope that you are. I love the whole Old Testament. But in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus, after his baptism, goes up into the mountain, and he is there for 40 days fasting. And we know that Satan is there. And he tempts Jesus. You see, Satan is not looking for those who are lost. They're already lost. He wants to come in and confound those and get those who are believers to walk away from the faith. He wants you to quit doing the things that got you in your relationship with God. He wants you to stop going to church. He wants you to stop praying. He wants you to start pointing fingers, not praising God, but pointing fingers at people, pointing fingers at yourself. He is looking to take you out of your relationship with God in a way that he wants to damage it. He wants to damage your relationship. And he will do that any way that he can. He is an opponent. He don't go by the rules, if there is rule. He is a rule breaker, as we know, as that's wanted to fight God, and he wants to be God. He wanted to be God. He doesn't have a set of rules. The only constraints that he has is where God says, you can't do this and you can't do that. As he asked God, he says, well, you put a protective hedge around him. Basically saying, I can't get to Job because you're protecting him. But he says, skin for skin. And God says, okay, but you can't take his life. Other than God setting some parameters and some rules and guidelines, he does not go by human rules. He is a rule breaker. The Bible says he is the father of lies. He is a liar. He is the father of lying. He's the one that created lying. And here we see in this scripture right here that he is coming around. That's why the scripture says you need to be sober. You need to be vigilant because your adversary, your enemy, is the devil. He walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And the scripture tells us in verse 9 that we need to resist him. This devil, he is wicked. He is wicked, which he is evil. There's no good in him. The Bible says he masquerades as an angel of light, but there is no good in him, which means he puts on a false image of like, he is good, he's going to do something, but he'll pull you in to take you out. It's a sucker punch. And he'll do that because he doesn't want you to be praising God. He doesn't want you to be calling out to God in your troubles. He wants you to go to the bar when you're in trouble. He doesn't want you to go to God when you're depressed. He wants you to go to an addiction when you're depressed. He does not want you to go to God for anything. He will want you to go to anything else but to God. Do you understand that he was in the presence of God when he was doing, when he was just mighty and great at one time? He knows what that life is like as an angel. He knows the part of worshiping God. He knows that God adored him with all kinds of awesome things. We can read that in I believe it's in Ezekiel chapter, I want to say 28. I could be off on that just for a bit. But right in there, it does have some, definitely some good pieces there of what he was, but then what he came, because he became prideful. He wanted to be God. And he is after us to take it, but the Bible says that we need to resist him. To resist him. How do we do that? Steadfast in the faith. Thank you. The Bible says we can resist him. We can say no. Or we can say yes to what is right. James 4:7 says, therefore submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You are the minority in the world. There are more lost people than there are saved people. So when Satan comes to attack, he can do what he wants with the lost. He'll do those things with lost people. But when there's more lost people than there are saved, he doesn't want people to come to know Christ. But those who have come to know Christ, he doesn't want them to fulfill what God's will is. He wants us to fall away, what the Bible says, to backslide. Which we're always in a place of never honoring God with our life. We're just backsliding our whole. We've stepped away from the things of God. But resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Which means when these people were going under a lot of persecution as being believers, but what he's saying is, you're not the only one that he's looking for to take out. You're not the only one that Satan wants to attack. You're not the only Christian going through hard times. You're not the only one. And we need to be strong. We carry too much weight. We carry too much baggage that we don't need to carry. the pains and sufferings of life are going to happen. Ecclesiastes tells us there's a time for everything under the sun. But the Scriptures plainly tell us that those worries and that weight, we're to give it to God. Jealousies. There's no reason to be jealous of your brothers and sisters in Christ. There's no reason really to be angry with your brothers and sisters in Christ. The Bible says we need to take care of business. We need to go to that person and ask for that forgiveness and take care of what needs to be taken care of and walk away. And you're doing the thing that God's called you to do. If you got a problem and it's big and it's weighing you down and it's stressing you out and it's affecting how you eat, because it does do that. Affecting how you're not sleeping, and that's the things that the devil will do to get you all off track. We're to take that to God in prayer. When we're really struggling in our prayer life, we can ask another believer, say, hey, will you pray with me? I'm really struggling, because you can't do life alone in this world. It's too wicked. You just can't. And God knows we can't. But He gives us the Holy Spirit, His Spirit, and His Son who forgives. And we have that whole peace. We have all of Him, and we have Him all as one, and we have Him as three, and it's enough if we do it His way. He is enough. He's enough. How do you get through it? How do you get through the weight, knowing that there's an enemy that's lurking around, and maybe he has put his claws and his teeth into you, and he's tearing pieces of you away. And what we do is we go to the pain, and we want to cover the pain, and then there's a bite over here, and there's a bite over here, and we got all that going on. We're trying to look at the pain, and we just need to stop. Because he can do that. He'll do that all day long. And you can't take care of it yourself. It's a spiritual thing. This is why the lost will never get it. It's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle. I know some emotive, many of you know this scripture, but it's in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. He says, finally, my brothers, this is what Paul writes, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Can I tell you, though, that strong people have days where they feel weak? That's why he encourages us to be strong. But to be strong where? In the Lord, not in yourself. I can't pastor this church without God. I wouldn't even try. The days that I even try, I fail. The flesh wants to come out. Be strong in the Lord and in the power and His might. And he says, put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Once again, we're instructed to be ready for this battle that's coming. And he'll attack your family. He'll attack your marriage. He'll attack your finances. He'll attack your health. He'll attack anything, anywhere there's an open door. But I want to tell you, whatever God has allowed to be open, God can take care of. And when we try to open doors up and Satan takes full advantage and he comes in and attacks because you messed up and you opened the door of opportunity for him to come in. Let me tell you, God doesn't leave you, that he loves you enough to meet you right there, but he loves you so much he doesn't want to leave you there. He wants to pull you out of that mess, but you got to reach out and you got to grab it and you got to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, not in ours, but in his. Amen. I can't win these battles on my own. But he says, this is why. Because it ain't how big you are and how tough you are. And about a bank account and about titles. Because the Bible says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. That's all the things that we see. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Our fight's not flesh and blood, though it feels like flesh and blood. And sometimes it hits us in flesh and blood. With physical things and health and those things. But it's what's behind it. It's what's behind those marriage problems. It's what's behind those. As I talk with a young man today, his biological father was a pedophile. His new father was a pedophile. And he says, I was right there in it, and I was caught up with these, and I became a pedophile. He said, this runs in the blood, it runs all around, everywhere I go, I run into these guys. And it's not the flesh. Here it is. The Satan will use the flesh, but where does it come from? It comes from principalities. Things we don't understand, does it? It's the spiritual world that's behind it, against the powers. This is why we need God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus helping us. We need God helping us because the spiritual things, we don't see it always. We don't see these things. We don't see them moving. We don't feel. Now, God gives us the spirit of discernment, and sometimes He cranks it up at a level that's beyond us, and He allows us to see something or allows us to feel something that is not right, that is good, that's good, or it's of evil. But He says it's against principalities and against powers. And we don't understand, but it's darkness. And against the rulers of the darkness of this age. The rulers of the darkness of the age. They are organized. They are together. They don't fight against each other. They are together. They're organized. They're those fallen angels. Against spiritual hosts of wickedness. Wickedness. They're evil. They're wickedness. In the heavenly realms. They're here on the earth in the heavenly realms. If you want to get into the second, third heaven, all those things you can talk about. Let's just say they're all over the place. And they're moving back and forth. Daniel chapter 10 will give you a little bit of explanation on some of that. So how do we make it with all this attack of spiritual battles that's going on? And we're still trying to make it in. Just some basic things beat us down. Well, one, in verse 11, chapter 5, verse 11 there, it says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. We don't need to be a part of that. What I'm saying is you don't open yourself up to Wiccan groups, and you don't open yourself up to the things that the lost world does in those places. There's some places we just need to say, I don't go there. And if you used to, you say, I'm done with that. Because there's a realm that attacks us and wants to take us out. Let me read this and I'm closing. I want to read it one more time because it needs to hit not just here, but right here. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. We cannot do this on our own. We can't be prideful and say, I can do this. And casting all your cares, all your worries, all your junk upon Him. Why? Because He cares for you. Thank you, Jesus. But He says, be sober and you be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. He's angry, seeking whom he may devour. But He says, resist him. Be steadfast in your faith, strong faith. Your faith is in God and God alone. I can't help you in those things. I cannot save you from those things. You can't save me from those things. We can work together, but God must be in the midst. Amen? God must be in the midst. And we resist Him because we also know that the same sufferings are experienced by other brothers, by other sisters in Christ. The same sufferings happen to others who are believers. This is a hard life that we're living. And even just preaching this message, I wouldn't be surprised if it doesn't cost me something. Because anytime you preach on these things, it always costs something. But it's better to give out the information and the message to the people so that it would help you all to become stronger Christians. I wouldn't be surprised tonight than if I would not have some demonic dreams. And it just happens. There is retaliation when you speak the truth of God and when you try to expose those things that are dark. It just happens. But if God allows it, God's enough. Amen? God's enough. I felt some of us have some very... This is what I felt tonight. I know I have the gift of discernment. Sometimes God cranks it up. Sometimes He doesn't crank it up so much. He cranks it up in someone else. But this is what I felt tonight. There was a lot of us tonight that was bringing a lot of heavy junk. Some just heavy weight tonight. But I want to tell you tonight, I know it was kind of, it felt like it was a little rough in some singing parts. Not that you're not, I love your singing. But this is what I know tonight. We were trying to work it through by singing. It's from the first times tonight, I felt like we were trying to make it work. Not because we were trying to fake it, but because we just trying to figure out, we were worshiping with what we had. And some of us are carrying so much stuff, we were worshiping with just a little bit. But I'm telling you, God will take that little bit. And that, if you honor God with that little bit you got, God will put in and He'll say, okay, now we're ready. Because you're giving me all you got. And all you got is just a little bit tonight. Let me tell you, you gave me more tonight than you gave me when you thought you had all that. Because what was the first part? You humble yourself before God. So tonight you gave a little bit and that's enough. Now you got to figure out what you're going to do with it as we have this altar call. And I don't know what you're going to do with it, but I know what I got to do with some of my stuff tonight.